Like Chinese folk. James chapter number 3. As we look in the Word of God, I was going to preach on racial prejudice, and Brother Ken covered that. I was going to preach on you ought to cry sometimes, and Brother Gary covered that. I was going to preach on worshiping the Lord, and this dear brother covered that. So I'm going to preach on James chapter 3. I feel like that's what the Lord had me do when I come down here. And verse number 1, my brethren, be not many masters. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today and be alive. Lord, pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work while we're gathered here together in the house of God. You've already spoke to our hearts. Lord, we love every song. We love the pastor. We love all these preachers here. And God, we pray, God, for the people. God, you'll bless all of us here as gathered around your word. And Father, we love you and thank you. Help me, God, as I preach. Put your power on me. Lord, move me out of the way. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In James chapter 3, the chapter literally could, I believe, be divided into two parts. The first part dealing with the sins of the mouth, down to verse, I believe it's about 16 or so. And then verse 17 and 18 deal with sins of the mind. Through the Holy Spirit of God, both of these can be controlled. They'll never be done away with, but they can be controlled if you give them to God every day. I heard a young preacher tell me, when I get around young preachers, I want to preach the devil out of people. When I get around old preachers, I want to live and serve the Lord. So I try to stay around both so I can keep a good balance. But I had a young preacher tell me when he got out of bed, he prayed for, Lord, help me to fight the devil today. And he said, I try to do that. He said, I try to get in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And I was motivated. There was an older preacher sitting with me. He heard him say it. I said, what are you praying morning? He said, Lord, help me out of bed. Lord, help me out of bed. I said, I'm kind of somewhere in between them guys now. But when I talk about what I'm going to preach about today, I'm going to preach to you on talking in tongues. Talking in tongues. Talking in tongues. Some of y'all are already looking at me funny, but that's okay. When I'm done, you'll know where I'm going with this. First off, I want to point out to you, I'm not referring to charismatic tongues. Those are not of the Lord. I can prove that to you. Let's take our Bible. Hold your place at James. We're going to come right back. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to show you this. When I first got saved, I had relatives that drank and cussed and everything the same place as I did. I got saved, and they told me I was going to the wrong church. Sure did. They'd never invited me to church. I didn't even know they went to church until I got saved. And they said, oh, well, you've got to come to our church. They said, we got a youth program. They said, we got rock and roll music. I said, y'all got all that? They said, yeah. I said, I just left all that. I thought we were supposed to quit that. Do you know there's a church in Gadsden, South Carolina, and this fella tells me every time I run into him, he said, I know we're not independent Baptists like y'all are, but we believe the same way. I don't wear a tie when I preach, but I preach the same thing as you. And he just says this to me, and I can't hardly get out of McDonald's for the fella. I saw a video a fella sent me. It was Brother Grady Gregory's son sent this video to me of this church. There is a dude standing with his nasty feet on the communion table in a white dress with a crown on, up there dancing to the Harlem Shake and Harlem Boogie and all this business. I can't wait till I run into him again. I can safely tell him, we do not believe like you do, sir. We do not believe a thing like you believe. We do not have the standards you hold high in your church like that. I couldn't believe it. I said, man, and there he was holding a WWF championship belt and dancing around, and them people up there. I thought, my goodness, what are we coming to? But we're not talking about charismatic tongues, and all that stuff I just told you about is of the charismatic movement. I went to a thing one time, and my pastor told me, we was there, and they started doing all that stuff. He said, let's go. I said, really? I said, I thought they was fixing to bring out Ozzy Osbourne. This sounds like it's getting pretty good here. And he said, I know you're kidding, but we got to leave. And we left. We didn't stay for all that stuff. Listen to this. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says in verse number 8, I had this lady come up to me. She's related to me. She said, if you're not talking in tongues, you're not saved. I said, okay. I said, where's that at in the Bible? She said, I don't know, but it's in the Bible. And I got into this Bible reading plan where you read 10 chapters a day out of different parts of the Bible. But there was only 9 places you read from. And on the 10th one, you're supposed to swap 1 Corinthians 13 and Hebrews 11 every other day. And I read that thing and I ran across this about the second day I was in the plan. I called her up. I said, the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. She said, what are you talking about? Do you think that's quit? I said, no, I don't think anything. I said, verse 10 says, but that which is perfect is come, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Right. I said, so from what I'm understanding here, that no longer exists because I have that which is perfect in my hands looking for it. She said, oh, no, that's talking about Jesus. I said, oh, no. Jesus came before that. Something perfect came after him. Something that's just like him. Something that if you try to put them both together and shake them out in a bag and pour them out, you wouldn't tell which one is which because they're both perfect. She said, I'll have to get back with you on that. It's been 19 years. The phone hasn't rung. The mailbox hadn't clanked. And the email hadn't chimed in saying, you've got mail to explain to me why we can't do that. I preached through the book of Acts, and Brother Wells, he actually mentioned something at a meeting I was at right before I preached on it. I thought, I'm glad he covered that so I can preach that thing next time and know I'm doing right. I wrote this thing down over there in Acts chapter 2. I figured out something. The miracle wasn't in the ear. It was in them Holy Ghost-filled men. It was talking 12 and 14 languages at a clip.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to see your Pentecostal TV preacher try that business. I sat in prison one time preaching, and this fella come up. He said, we got some of them spirit-filled people here today. I said, good, I'm going to talk in tongues for them. And that guy got excited. He said, you are? I said, I am. I said, we're going to get up there, and I'm going to teach all of you how to do it. I'm going to teach y'all today. Just say, who stole my Honda, and look at my bow tie real fast, and they'll swear you got it. Because that's what they teach that crowd in a Sunday school class when ain't nobody around. It's fake, and it's phony. You say, I've done it. You full of the devil. Amen. Listen, I saw Baptists on the door. I came from a place that had Baptists on the door. I'm not ashamed to say all this stuff. And if I was preaching in the Catholic Church, I'd preach the same way. I don't know if we got any danger of that, but you know how it is. All right, notice this thing right here. In James chapter number 3, I'm talking about talking in tongues, and I want to give you the real types of tongues that people talk in. You'll notice right here, the first one in verse number 14, this is the real types of tongues now, is the counterfeit tongue. Verse 14 says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. That first type of tongue that people talk in is a counterfeit tongue. They learn the words and never have a heart change. They've said a prayer, but they've never trusted the Savior. They've come along and they've learned the terminology, so when you knock on their door and say, I noticed you hadn't been there in 6 months, they can say, I was baptized. I've walked the aisle. I've been baptized. I said a prayer. Were you going to come Sunday? I don't want to make you any promises. Are you saved? Why, sure I am. Everybody's saved. That's a counterfeit tongue. My wife told me that she saw this thing in the store the other day. It was an ink pen. And it was a pen that you take. And somebody got a $100 bill, I'll test that thing for you. Because she told me that you take this pen, it's like him in a store, you can lay it down and mark that thing, and it'll turn a certain color if it's fake. Is it brown? I said, you know what we need? We need to go down to Christian bookstore and buy a pen like that for the church. She said to check the offering. I said, no, to check the people giving the offering. Because there's so many people speaking in these counterfeit tongues, I just wonder if we come along and mark a few of them, wonder if what color they'd turn. And I'm telling you, I have seen people in my lifetime, I've ordained men, I've had to turn around in church within the next 5 years because they were counterfeit. They never had what they said they had. They fooled everybody. And listen, but people said to me sometimes, they said, well, I ain't never been deceived. Yes, you have, because you deceived right now if you think that. And listen, somebody with a counterfeit tongue will deceive you. They're of their father the devil. They will lie to you and think they're telling the truth. It's amazing to me how folks get in a shape like that. But I watched somebody here recently come up to the house. It was a lady that my wife knew. She come up saying, "Can I have a dollar?" She's a crackhead. We said, "No, you can't have a dollar. You go down to, you'll go buy crack with it." And the lady walked off, and my next door neighbor come over and said, "Is that such and such?" And my wife said, "Yeah, that is them." He said, "I remember back in high school, that was a straight A student. That was somebody who you know, they lived above reproach. They he said, "I don't know where they went to church at, but you could tell they'd been, you know, and things like that." I said, "My goodness, wonder how somebody got in that shape. They got in the same shape like that because they had a counterfeit tongue back then. They spoke all the right words. Sin was in their heart. It manifested and it brings forth death. And when you have something producing death in your life, it's not of the Lord. It's a counterfeit tongue." Second type of tongue people talk in, if you look down in verse 9, says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth," he said, "proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Second type of tongue that comes out on somebody is a cursing tongue. Or let me say it where you'll understand it, a cussing tongue. See, people, they think if they curse someone, they're okay, they can get away with that. But if you cuss them, that's bad. Whatever you want to call it, it's bad. If you use words that you ought not use, it's bad. If you use words that you wouldn't stand up right in front of this communion table and say, you ought not say them. You say, "Well, it's different on the ball field." No, it ain't different on the ball field. It's the same on the ball field as it is in the pulpit, as it is in the pew. It's the same for the preacher. It's the same for the people. You ought not have a cussing tongue. He said they ought not so to be. And if they ought not so to be, and God said they ought not so to be, then they ought not so to be. Notice this thing. Listen, there's two types of water he's going to bring up here about salt water and fresh water. Listen, I've been down to the coast because no Baptist goes to the beach, but I've been down to the coast a few times, and I noticed something. I don't go out that business. You know why I don't? Two reasons. There's things out there bigger than me, and number two, they hungry. That's true. This guy told me down there at Myrtle Beach one time, he said, "Them things don't ever come up on the shore, not down here where the people are." And one day we were sitting down there, and I saw all these DNR people and policemen and everything head down. I thought, boy, there's a fight. I told my son, I said, "Come on, we're going to go watch this fight." I said, "We ain't seen one all week. It's just been all these old Yankees down here, and everybody's been so quiet and everything because we go in October and stuff." We went down there, and there's a turtle as big as that thing over there, turned up on his side dead, and they had him stretched out, and he had died down there and come up on that beach. I asked that game warden, I said, "What happened to this turtle?" Now, I've never seen a turtle much bigger than this, much less something like that. He was huge. His head was as big as your engine block, just about. Big old thing. I don't even know what kind they call him. I just called him huge. They had that thing turned up like that, and he said he got caught by a crab basket somewhere. I thought, man, little old crab basket, little thing wrapped around his neck. He said he fought and fought and fought. I looked down and saw claws, one claw was as big as my little hand. Now, he had about four or five of them on each one. And I looked over and I told my son, I said, "You remember that guy that said them big old eating things don't never come up?" I said, "There's one right there." And I can imagine if I was fighting for my life, had big old claws like that, I'd tear up probably anything that got in my way between me trying to get that thing off my neck and all that. And I'm sure he did the same. And I got to look at that thing, and I thought to myself, you look at that stuff like that, and people say, "Well, it'll never happen." Do you know I have had children come get saved and say, "Will you pray for my daddy?" I said, "Well, I pray for your daddy. What's wrong with him?" "Well, he cusses all the time. These things ought not so to be. They ought not to be a turtle that big up on something, and you try to tell me I need to swim in some garbage like that. Have you lost your mind? Listen, I don't do that stuff, but if I did, I wouldn't do it there." And I see people coming up and saying, "Pray for Daddy. He's got a real bad problem with cussing. Daddy's only been a deacon 36 years. Daddy only taught Sunday school 12 years. Hey, cut that stuff out." You saw, somebody told me one time, said, "They don't know if a man's saved can be like that. According to this thing says they ought not so to be, but I know this, the devil will get you to do it if he can. He can't have your soul. He can't have your eternal destiny." But I believe that thing said fire of hell when it described the tongue over here. So he's kind of got a little bit of control over something in there, sounds like. Sound like he's got one direct avenue where he's going to hit everybody at, and it's going to be in the matter of cussing. Now, here's the thing I love. Christians say they don't cuss. That's what they tell me. And then I see somebody say, gee whiz, and I wonder if I've heard them phonetics somewhere before. Golly gee. I ain't going to get none of the bad ones. That's just two of the mild ones. So don't tell people they cussing and you say stuff like that. That just ain't right. Number three, since all you cussers won't shout, I believe we need to go to verse 11 and look at the next type of tongue that people talk in. It says, doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Now this tongue we see here is not a cussing tongue or a counterfeit tongue. It's a complaining tongue. There is a lot of folks, if you make the mistake of saying, how are you doing? They will take their time and the rest of yours of the day to tell you. They'll say, well, I just got my gallbladder out. You want to see it? And they'll put something out there and say, look at all them stones out there. And I'm thinking, man, I'd rather watch this on TV or something, or the monitor, whatever you want to call that thing, than I would see it sitting in a jar up there in front of me or something like that. Well, how are you doing? Well, I'm not doing too good. In fact, I need to borrow $5. And I'm like, man, you caught me at a bad time. I got it on me. I hate to hear that, you know. How you doing? Not too well. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Preacher, you made me mad today. Well, good. Because I was taught that before you can get glad, there's two emotions got to go in front of it. Madness and sadness. I believe I heard him get up and say he was mad. Then he got sad. And then he got glad. That's what you said, brother. I heard you say it. You might not have said it exactly like that, but I was watching that. I thought, he got mad at his preacher too. I'm glad I ain't the only one. But I see there that when that complaining tongue shows up, I have a science teacher in my church, and I have to watch everything I say. And you talking about having to study to show yourself approved unto God. You got to study to show yourself approved unto her, because if you say something unscientific, she'll come up to church and say, I need to tell you something. I know I've said something wrong or something. But she taught me one thing. I always research stuff. As a 25-year-old pastor, when she come to the church, I had to start researching stuff. I believe the Lord put somebody like that in my life. Because when I preach against evolution, son, I'm running right down the line now. I'd have been corrected so much, I know what to say against it now and make it right and make it scientifically right. But she taught me something about salt I never did know. And that's once you put salt on something, it doesn't change it to the flavor that thing was. It becomes salt flavored no matter what it is. And there's no changing it back. You let that complaining get in your vocabulary. And before long, you're going to complain about everything. Oh, it's too hot in here. No, it's too cold. I learned something. I say, y'all folks over here too hot? And they say, yeah. And I said, somebody here said it's too cold. I says, I want y'all to switch seats. That way there'll be no complaining. We can stop the doctrine of talking in tongues. We can get rid of the complaining tongue within 15 feet of each other. Just make those steps. We used to tell them to take 12 steps off. Now we're just taking 15, go across the aisle at one another and get them things, you know, just flip-flop over there. But I notice he says that thing about that complaining. People complain about stuff. They complain. Listen, I've heard me and younger me complain about their backs. I thought, what y'all going to do when y'all get about 55 or 60 or 65? What they going to do when they get 70 if God lets them live that long? They'll be so complained out, they won't have nothing to complain about. There's a lady told me, and this is what she said. She said, my husband broke his jaw. I said, I'm sorry. She said, no, it's good. I said, why would that be good? She said, I was praying for God to stop that complaining. And son, he got a hold of him. And that guy looked up at me and he said, amen. I said, bless his heart. Verse number 15 down there. The Bible says this. It talks about this type of tongue. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Here's another tongue right here, a critical tongue. Do you know, if I tried to tell y'all jokes, you wouldn't laugh at them. You'd look at me like I'm stupid. I've sat here and heard y'all laugh, and I'm thinking, man, if I could just bottle that stuff and sell it. I know a few cussing comedians need to buy it. Yeah. Amen. I think you can laugh without cussing. Yeah. But I have found a few Baptists over the years, and I'm sure it goes across all them lines, to where if they're not critical, they can't say nothing. They can't say nothing about nothing. They got to be critical of everything. There's a fella come in one time, and he preached against television, all 700 channels of it. I promise you. I got one, didn't know we had that many on there.
Yeah.
He knew more about stuff that I wouldn't look at than I have ever seen in my life. I promise you, I have never heard somebody. I mean, he was detailed. He is down to the frequency on what them things was on and who was starring in the shows and all that. I'd never heard of them people. And I thought, wow, that's the first night of revival meeting. Second night he come in and he preached on something called MySpace. I didn't have one, but I didn't know if it was a little against the law to have one or what, and he got done with them. And I had two teenage girls in my church that had the MySpace things, and they come up and they said this to me. They said, is it not right to have them things? I said, according to what we just heard, they're not. She said, if it's not right, why is he quoting everything that I have on mine if it's not right to look at if he's been looking on mine all day? Because he made the statement some of you have and quoted the stuff. And I got to thinking about that. Next night he preached against G.I. Joe, and the next night after that it was Barbie and the Barney the Purple Dinosaur. And I finally caught myself about midweek of that thing, and I told him, I said, I think the meeting's over. He said, why? Have I preached too hard? I said, no, you ain't preached at all. You ain't said a thing but criticize everything under the sun. I said, my people don't even know what you're talking about. I said, we try to stay away from stuff like that and try to stay as close to the Lord as we can. I know you got to preach against stuff. I'm against everything. I understand. But I do understand this much. If it's something you ain't supposed to know anything about and you know all about it, you've been fooling with it way too much. When I was in Bible college, this guy brought in a guy one time. He's an old mountain preacher, and he said this. He said, when he was a kid, the radio was preached against as being of the devil. This was 1994. Man, he had a Schofield Bible as big as this pulpit up here. He said radio was of the devil. He said, 15 years later, he said, I'd gotten saved and gotten to ministry. And while I was learning and coming along, he said, all the preachers that preached against the radio had a radio ministry. Now there's a new thing come out. It was television, and it was of the devil. He said, now it's the 1990s, and this is right before Al Gore invented the internet. He said, I don't know what's coming next, but I'm sure we're going to preach against it until we get one. And I thought about that thing and thought about that thing, and about a few years later, it hit me. It was around 1999, 2000, it hit me. He was actually telling about the internet, didn't even know it. And then I got to listening, everybody, that was of the devil. It was of the devil. Everybody, if you had it plugged in your house, that was the snake running in, it was of the devil. And they all had TV ministries now. Wait for it. It's 2013. Last time I looked around, everybody has a church web page and a church Facebook page and an electronic ministry and a what they call them things on the iPhone, an app. That's from your church. You can have an app and click that button and go live to your church and all that. I wonder what's next. Now we got all them ministries. But don't figure. Somebody's probably critical of them and critical of you for having them. But that's a tongue that we got running loose in our church and needs to quit. I like what I heard earlier because I heard a lot about Jesus. I like that. Brother, I've known your dad for several years. I appreciate you said something. You said, I'm waiting on the boss. I go preach for preachers that's probably 40 years older than me, and they'll say, what do you want to do? I said, whatever you want to do. I said, you're the boss. I love it. I love I can come down here and just get up and sit down. If he said, sit down right now, I would, and I'd be as happy as I was before I got up because I have learned something. I don't criticize the man of God. You may not do it like I do it. You may be against things I'm for, and I'm for things you against, and whatever else may goes on. But I understand this. God leads in your place, and God leads in mine, and somehow or another, we all headed to the same heaven. We're following the same Lord, and he works out the details. 10 years ago, there was things I wouldn't have touched that now I think they're the best thing in the world. I wondered one night, though, I'll be honest with you about cell phones. I don't know if they're of the devil or not, but I think they're close. And I'm going to tell you why. I have never seen a beat in my life of people that'll show up and not talk to each other and text one another back and forth the table in a restaurant. I don't understand that. Maybe it's better English. I don't know. Maybe they, if it's deaf people, I could understand. Until I read their text and I think, they don't even know English. It's like the fella said, I seen somebody put PLZ for please, because that was a shorter word than please when they asked me something. He said, so I replied back, N-O, because that's shorter than Y-E-S. That critical tongue, according to most Christians that I have heard say this, always tear downs and never builds anybody up. You say, boy, we get some charismatics. Oh, yeah, we'll tear them up. We're against them Catholics. Sure will. We'll preach them right. Listen, Pope Francis, come on. The last one was the Star Wars guy. Did y'all see his face? Y'all that don't watch TV, I don't watch. When they have something on the Bible like they had the last few weeks, I knew that was going to be bad when they announced it. But I think they got one thing right because I saw a picture of it. Obama is the devil in that thing. A blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. We busy criticizing preachers and ministries, and the whole time these Democrats are ruining our country. And if you're a Democrat, listen, if you're over the age of 50 and you're a Democrat, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't what it was when you got into it back in the 50s or back in the 60s. A whole lot's changed. But one more thing, listen, I've told you every tongue you don't need. And I'd be the biggest hypocrite sitting here if I didn't tell you which one you do need. It don't say, Abba Sheba, who stole my Honda, look at my bow tie and all that other garbage. But in verse 3 and 4 is the tongue you need. Here it is. If you're going to pray for tongues, you pray God give you this one. It says in verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now you think about that. That's a controlled tongue. I hate horses. If you got them, I hate you got them. He's talking about hating things. Boy, I hate horses. You ever smell them things? I went up to one that one of my members had. I was fixing to put a piece of butterscotch candy in my mouth, and that sucker ate my candy out of my hand. I didn't even see him coming. I said that. I looked him right in his eyes, and I was about to punch him with a piece of wood I found laying there. The guy said, what did you do? I said, he stole my candy. He took my candy. He didn't take your candy. He took my candy. Made me mad. And Grandpa told me when them old animals act like that, you take a stick or something, hit them right between the eyes, well, that'll straighten straight out. He told me that. Now, whether that's true or not, I never had to do it, but I was fixing to do it that day. But I seen how big that horse was, and I got to thinking, I'm only 5'7" tall. I'm a giant among men in the Philippines. I got to examining that horse, and I believe at last I counted, he was taller than me just at the hips. And I got to thinking, I dropped that piece of wood. I thought, what if I don't knock him out? He'll kill me. He'll sure kill me. Huge thing. He took a thing about the size of one of these microphones, shoved that thing in his mouth, hopped up there like the Lone Ranger, and he had him every which way he wanted him to go. I said, let me see that thing. He said, you're right. I said, no, I don't see that thing in his mouth. He said, what do you see it for? I said, I got some church members I think needs one of these things. I said, I believe we need to order several sets of them. And I think it would be very profitable for us to have a controlled tongue like that horse. Did you just hear where I said he put that thing in that horse to control him? Right in his mouth. And I thought unto God, if every Baptist that said they want to be spirit-filled and used of God, we'll let the Holy Ghost throw something in our mouth and keep us shut up and hold on to us like that and pull us wherever, let the Lord have him reins. We'd have that controlled tongue. We might border on verse number 1 back up there in verse 2 rather than bordering on all these other things we get fooled up with. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today and be alive. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach. I pray, God, that while we're here today, Lord God, that you'll be a blessing to folks, Lord God, and help us. Lord, bless the pastor just for having this meeting. And God, we pray, Lord God, that you'll use everything to your glory, honor, and praise for us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.